Worship team, thank you guys so much for leading us and in praise and honor to the name of our Lord. If you couldn't tell, we're focusing on the name of the Lord today, which as we should every day, but today particularly as we talk about continuing our series through the Ten Commandments, and we're in the third commandment about the honor and the glory due the name of God. This is the part in the service where normally our kids would be dismissed. Instead, we're having all of our families in here today. And so kids, kiddos, we're glad that you're in here with us. And I hope that as you listen to the service today, it'll help you, one, as we learn all of the Ten Commandments, but then particularly as we focus in on this third commandment about what it means for our lives today. So with that, I need some help. I need a couple of kids to come up on stage with me. Brady, come on up, buddy. Emma, come on up, sweetheart. Who else wants? Yeah, come on. You got. In fact, all you, come on up. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to learn the Ten Commandments today in a very simple, easy way. So y'all just come on up. Y'all line up right here with me. And I'm going to we're going to teach all of the parents, all the adults, how they can remember the Ten Commandments, all right? Perfect. You guys just line up with me. Okay. So, if I were to ask, you want to stand behind me? If I were to ask most of us in this room, do you know the Ten Commandments? And we'd probably struggle through most of them, trying to remember all the Ten Commandments. But I have a way that we can memorize these things in a very simple way, and I think by the end of the series, we're going to all have them down. Okay, you ready? All right, so you're going to use your hands for this, okay? So I need everybody to have one hand, just one finger first. Commandment number one, all right? There is only one God. The commandment number one is, you shall have no other gods before me, all right? Commandment number one. So everybody, come on, guys. Fingers up, fingers up. Goodness gracious. All right, commandment number one. You shall have no other gods before me. Can y'all say that? Can y'all say it? No other gods before me. Commandment number two, two fingers, all right? The Lord said, you shall not make for yourself a graven image. It's scissors, cut out the idols, all right? No idols. You shall not worship any graven image. All right, cut out the idols. You got the scissors. Okay, good, 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 good. All right. Commandment number three. I have trouble with three, all right? Three. All right, take it and cover your mouth, all right? You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. All right, so cover your mouth. Can y'all say it? You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. All right. Commandment number four, I need two fingers on each hand. Four. Put them together. It kind of makes like a little church house. Honor the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Can you see that? Honor the Sabbath day to keep it holy. All right, that's our day of worship. Okay. Now, commandment number five. Everybody here? All right, ready? Don't smack your mama, okay? Honor your father and your mother, okay? Can you say that? All right, so don't smack your mama. Okay, commandment number six, all right? You shall not murder, all right? Do not murder, okay? Commandment number seven. You ready? You shall not commit adultery. It's two, not five. All right? You got me? Husband and wife, male and female, two, not five.
Not slap your mama, though.
Yeah, that was a good one. Do not commit adultery. All right. Commandment number eight. I need four on each hand this time. Commandment number eight. In some countries, when you steal, you know what they do? They cut your thumbs off, right? Nope. So commandment number eight is do not steal, all right? Okay?
I just touched
a shotgun. Do not steal. Commandment number nine. A lot of times, we try to hide that little white lie. So we're hiding that little white lie. The ninth commandment is you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor, or you shall not lie. Okay, commandment number nine. And then commandment number 10, ready? You shall not covet. All right, it's all mine. You're bringing it into yourself. This is mine. Commandment number 10, you shall not covet. All right. You got them?
Yeah.
All right. We're going to practice this again. Miss Ruth, we're going to practice again in your classes, Ross and Ruth, later. All right, guys. Good job. Y'all have a seat. All right, well, we're going to practice that again as a church later on in the series. And hopefully you'll never forget the Ten Commandments. Good job, kiddos. All right. When we talk about the third commandment, we're in Exodus chapter 20, by the way. Exodus chapter 20. When we talk about the third commandment, I've looked at some, if you've ever looked at like a kid's book, a lot of times this commandment will be said like something like watch your mouth or don't cuss, things like that. The Bible has a lot to say about our mouth, has a lot to say about the words that we use, the things that we say. In fact, in Scripture, we see in Ephesians 4:29, it says, let no corrupt word come out of your mouth, but only that is good for building up. Colossians 3:8 says, put away wrath and anger and slander and obscene or filthy talk from your mouth. Psalm 19:14 says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. The Bible has a lot to say about the things that we say. But this commandment in particular is not just about random words. It's not just about profanity or curse words. It's particularly about the name of God and how we handle and how we carry God's name. In Scripture, names are very significant. And today, we don't place a lot of importance on names. Some parents do. Some parents really think through like what they're going to name their children, and they have the children's books, and they're looking through the names, and they're really trying to figure it out. Other parents, not so much. They just kind of, whatever comes out. I had a buddy in college, and for whatever reason, I'm not sure why they did this to him. But his last name was Slaw, and they named him Cole, yes. So his name was Coleslaw. How mean is that? There was another kid that when I used to work at a daycare when I was in high school, and his name, when I asked the kid his name, and he said, his name is Billy. And I said, well, what's your full name? And he said, Billy the Kid. And I said, no, hang on, what's your middle name? The. Your middle name is The. Yes, what's your last name? Kid. Billy the Kid was his name. So some parents, I think they don't think through it very well, or maybe they do intentionally, just, hey, we're going with this. But in Scripture, names are very significant, and specifically the name of God. So when God throughout Scripture would reveal his name to his people, his name wasn't just something that we could call him by. It was something that he revealed by his grace. He revealed his character and his nature to us, and all those things were bound up in his name. So he would provide for his people, and he would reveal to them his name as the Lord, our provider, and the Lord who heals, the Lord who sees, the Lord who is with us, the Lord who fights for us. And again, 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 you would see these names for God as God provides for and redeems his people. And so there's a lot that is bound up in the name of God. In fact, when you look throughout history, some people were so, particularly Orthodox Jews, were so fearful of misusing the name of God that they refused to even speak it. They wouldn't even say the name of God. Others wouldn't write it down. And so even today, you'll find some people who will write, who will like either leave the name blank when they're referring to God, or they'll write G-D because they don't want to even write down the name of God. In fact, in church histories, you look through those who penned down and made copies of the Word of God that we have today throughout the years. Whenever they would get to the word Lord, Yahweh, they would have to put down their pen. They'd have to go and ceremonially wash and cleanse themselves, and get a new pen before they would write the name of the Lord, because there was that much honor and reverence for his name. We see again throughout Scripture this theme of God revealing who he is through his name. Psalm 99, 1 through 3 says, "The Lord is great in Zion. He is exalted over all the peoples. Let them praise your great and awesome name. Holy is he." In Psalm 34, verse 3, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together." And then Psalm 96, this is actually a little bit longer. Psalm 96, verses 1 through 9. Listen to these words. "Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord and bless his name. And tell of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous works among all peoples. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the peoples are worthless idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth." You look through passages like that and all throughout Scripture, and you see how they revered and honored, and they reveal the majesty of and the weight and the magnitude of God's holy name. Other places refer to his name reveals what he's done for us, not just who he is, but also what he's done for us in his redeeming work. In Psalm, just a few chapters later, in Psalms 111, look at verses 3 through 9 in Psalm 111. It says, "Full of splendor and majesty is his work, and his righteousness endures forever. He has caused his wondrous works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and merciful. He provides food for those who fear him. He remembers his covenant forever. He has shown his people the power of his works in giving them the inheritance of the nations. The works of his hands are faithful and just, and all his precepts are trustworthy. They are established forever and ever to be performed with faithfulness and uprightness. He has sent redemption to his people. He has commanded his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name." His name is directly attached to who he is and what he has done for you and for me. And so when we get to this commandment, "You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain," there is something very significant and very powerful and very weighty about the name of God, about the name of our Lord. And so we get to this commandment, and here's what I want to do as we walk through this. The name of God is something that we have far too often taken lightly and casually, and we're not allowed to do that. And so I want to approach this with grace, not with condemnation, but also with caution. And that we need to think through and be careful how we use the name of God. The name of God is not just something that's in the Old Testament, of course. It's something that is in the New. And of course, as you know, that God has revealed himself in many different ways. And then ultimately and finally, in the person and the work of Jesus. When God took on human flesh and dwelt among us, and his name is Jesus. And God, oh my goodness, look at Philippians. This is so good. In Philippians chapter 2, we see the name of Jesus. In Philippians chapter 2, look at this. Look at verse 9. The beautiful passage of what Christ has done for us and humbling himself and taking on the form of a servant and dying for us on the cross. And then look at verse 9. "Therefore, God has highly exalted him." Who's that? Jesus. "God has highly exalted Jesus and bestowed upon" who? "Jesus, the name that is above every name, so that the name of" who? Jesus, every knee should bow and in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And so Jesus is the name that we gather in today, and we just sang His praises this morning. We just sang how beautiful His name is, how powerful His name is. We sing and we celebrate and we worship and we revere the name of Jesus. The third commandment is going to give us some very serious cautions about how we use His name. So let's look at it real quick. In Exodus chapter 20, verse 7, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. To take, the word literally means to use, or to use upon your lips, or to carry, or to bear. Like to carry the name or to bear the name. Certainly, it's talking about how we speak the name of God, but it's not just that. And we're going to look at that in just a few minutes. There's a lot more than just speaking the name of God. It's how we carry and bear the name of God as His people. So to take His name is to use it or to carry it or to bear it. Vain, to use His name in vain, would be a meaningless or useless, trivial, empty, light, or small. It's to treat His name as if it is something small or trivial or meaningless or worthless. You could also say it this way, that it is to use God's name with no purpose or for the wrong purpose. The name of the Lord. Other translations you might have might use the word misuse, and that's fine too. It still carries that idea. Do not misuse the name of God. Do not use it in a way that is meaningless or useless or empty. I think there are two categories. I'm going to sort of simplify it here for us today, okay? There's two categories of ways that we can misuse God's name, all right? One is in the things that we say. That's one category, and we'll look at those. The other category is in the way that we live. In the way that we live. All right, so let's look at some of these together. One way that we take His name in vain in how we speak is when we use His name, listen, casually or carelessly or mockingly. You could turn the TV on for 30 seconds and flip through the channels, and you're going to hear the name of God, but it's not going to be in a worship service. It's not going to be in some kind of prayer gathering. It's going to be on a sitcom. It's going to be on some kind of Netflix show in which God's name is used casually, randomly, flippantly, carelessly, just thrown around. And it often boggles my mind why people have chosen that name particularly, and not any other random name, but you'd find the most starch atheist, and they're going to misuse God's name. You don't even believe in Him, and yet you're going to continually use His name as if it's meaningless and useless. So we see it on TV, we see it in movies, but we see it in everyday conversations, right? And again, I'm not trying to condemn today. I do want us to be careful, though. And so I want to draw some attention to this, sort of shine the light in this area of our lives, because so many of us do it and don't even really realize what we're saying when we're using the name of our Lord. And there's a difference between an exclamation of God's name and a profane use of it. And so somebody might cry out to the Lord, "Oh God, we need your help in this country," right? It's a prayer of desperation to the Lord. But then somebody might say almost the very same thing when they're watching a football game and said, "Oh God, that was a terrible call." Right? That is a terrible misuse of God's name. That's misusing, that's taking the Lord's name in vain. Because you're not talking to Him or about Him or in worship of Him. You're just using His name casually. It's a slang expression. I heard somebody say the other day, "Man, that is a God-awful t-shirt." What is that? It's a misuse of the name, the holy name of God. Good Lord, it's cold outside. Good Lord, it's cold in here. Like, just simple everyday expressions where we've inserted the name of God, the holy name of God, into our everyday, casual, careless conversation. All right? Today, in Christian, we sort of Christianize some of those things to make substitutions for those. Because I can't or shouldn't say, you know, blurt out the name of Jesus. Instead, I'm going to say Jeez or whatever. So hear me carefully. I'm not pronouncing that to say some substitutional words are sinful, because I can't say that. I don't even know, right? But I do want us to be careful, right? In that so instead of, you know, hey, oh, OMG. Like, listen, everybody knows what you're saying, right? You're just shortening the name of God. And again, I'm not trying to be condemning, but I do want us to be so careful in how we just casually throw around the name of our Lord. And so many times we do this. And honestly, I was talking to Danielle this week. My big thing is I say, oh my goodness, a lot. Like, oh my goodness. Well, maybe that's just a substitution, just a simple little thing for God. But maybe I got to be really careful in how I'm saying things. Like, let me just give you a principle. Let's just do this. If it isn't prayer, and if it isn't praise, or it isn't proclamation, then don't use his name. Right? If it's not prayer or praise, prayer to the Lord, or praise about something that he's done in our life, or proclamation of his name to others that need the gospel, then let's just leave his name out of it. Because so many times we just, like pick another name. And just, if you have to have exclaim for it, then just throw somebody else's name out there. I don't know, Justin Bieber or somebody. Like, come on. Like, if you, you know, man, just like, Justin Bieber is hot outside today. Or like, if you stump your toe, right? Like, Mickey Mouse Clubhouse, that hurts so bad. Like, let's use something different than taking the name of God who gave his life for ours. And let's treat it with the respect and the honor and the reverence that is due his name because of what he's done for us and because of who he is. So we can take his name when we just use it casually, carelessly. And so let's just be cautious of that. And I challenge you just to be thoughtful of that when you're looking at posts on Facebook and when you're speaking to others, and just listen for it. Just listen for using his name flippantly as if it's meaningless. Another way that we do it is when we attach his name to things that God hasn't attached his name to. I had a friend of mine in seminary who was interviewing for a church, and he walked up in his interview, and he said, God told me that I'm supposed to be the youth pastor of this church. Okay, hang on. Let's be careful. He ended up not being the youth pastor for that church, and they were like, whoa, hold up, buddy. He was trying to add force to his words, like, okay, so I know that this is like, instead of saying, I really do feel like God's leading me here, he's like, listen to me, I'm going to tell you what God said to me. God told me I'm supposed to be, like, he attached the name of God to something that God necessarily hadn't. An example in the scripture is false prophecy. There was false prophets, and God took that very, very seriously. When someone would declare a word from God that didn't come from him and attach his name to it, you know what they would do to them? They would kill them. They would kill and stone false prophets because they were declaring something from as if it was word from God, when in fact it actually wasn't. And so there were some serious consequences for misusing, abusing the name of God. To kind of bring it to today, we have ways in our church context of attaching God's name to things that he never intended it to be attached to. You guys ever like driving around looking at church signs? Church signs drive me crazy. And sometimes they're just silly, right? Sometimes they're just dumb signs. Like this one. This one is, tweet others the way you want to be tweeted. Right? It's just silly. There's nothing wrong with that. It's just silly. Or there's this one I saw. We're not Dairy Queen. That's supposed to be a DQ. We're not DQ, but we have great Sundays. Woo! That was dumb. Now, this one, I have no clue what this one even means. Now is a good time to visit our church. Our pastor's on vacation. What does that mean? What? Come visit. He's gone. And then others are more damaging. Jesus had two dads, and he turned out fine. Whoever stole our AC units, keep one. It's hot where you're going. Right? What are we trying to accomplish in, like, okay, then this last one. Keep using my name in vain, and I'll make rush hour longer. All right, listen. So the irony here is that they're actually misusing God's name in a sign where they're trying to tell others not to misuse God's name. God has never said that. He's never said, oh, in spite of you, you know, you keep using my name in vain, your rush hour is going to be that much longer. He's never said that. We don't serve a God who does things out of spite. And we have simple ways, like a church sign, of misusing the name of God, attaching God's name to things that he never has, or said things that he hasn't, in fact, said. All right, another way that we can take his name in vain is when we use his name to accomplish our own purposes. When we use his name to accomplish our own purposes. In the Bible, there's a really crazy story in Acts chapter 19. We won't read it now, but check it out later, because kids, you'll love it. It's really crazy. But basically, God is doing some supernatural work through his apostles. And so people are being healed and demons are being casted out and God's name is being glorified throughout the entire region and elsewhere. And awesome stuff is happening. Well, then there's some like Jewish exorcists, they're called. They get wind of what is happening through Paul and Peter and others. And they see what's happening and they're like, oh, wow, I want to use that. And when they watch what's happening, they realize that they're using this man Jesus. And so they're saying, come out in Jesus' name. And they're like, oh, wow, like, let's try that. And so then they go out and they're trying to do it for themselves. And they start trying to invoke the name of Jesus to cast out a demon, a person who's demon-possessed. And when they do, the demon talks back to them. Right? I'm telling you, it's crazy. You should look it up. The demon speaks back to them, and he's like, all right, listen, so they go to him, and they say, now, by the Jesus that Paul speaks, come out. And they're like, oh, hang on. Jesus we know, and this Paul guy, we've heard of him too, but who are you? And it says these demons come out, and the man comes and like attacks them, and they run off bloody and naked. Like, they just flee, like, they just got tore up because they tried to take the name of Jesus and use it for their own purposes. It's a misuse of God's name. Televangelists are bad about this as well. If you will empty your bank account and you'll sow that seed into my ministry, God will give you everything you'd ever want. He'll give you all the blessings in the world. I saw one where he said, you don't have any money? Just get a credit card. Just get a credit card and just trust me. It's a misuse of God's name. Taking his name in vain. So we can misuse God's name in the way, the things that we say, right, in our speech. But before I close today, I want to focus in on a really key issue that a lot of us look over, and that is that we can misuse the name of God, we can take his name in vain in the way that we live without ever opening our mouth. We can misuse his name. All throughout Scripture, we see that God's name is attached to his people. Right? When you look at the Old Testament, the surrounding nations knew that the Israelites were the people of God. He was the one who bought them. He was the one who delivered them. He was the one who walked with them. He was the one who fought for them. And so God gave his commandments to them as a way to separate them from the rest. And their call to holiness was so that because God is holy, they should also be holy and separate. And so there would be a difference. They would say, hey, we see a difference in them because they're Yahweh's people. Like that's God's people. So God's name was attached to his people. The same thing in the New Testament. The Christians, the first believers were called little Christs. They were attached to the name of Jesus. And so they bore his name wherever they went. Growing up, my dad would always say to us before we would go somewhere, if whether it was like we're going on a trip or we're going somewhere, he'd say, "All right, listen to me, boy, son, you be on your best behavior, because when you go, you represent Jesus and you represent the Vi family. You're a Vi boy. You represent the Vi." So what he was meaning by that is, there's certain things that we don't say, there's places that we don't go, there's things that we don't do because of nature of you being a part of our family. And you carry that name with you wherever you go. You carry the Vi name, right? And so he said, "Jared, first of all, you represent Jesus, and then secondly, you represent our family. So be careful the things that you do, the places that you go, and the things that you say, because you represent us." It's sort of like that on a much larger scale. Wherever we go, we represent the name of Jesus, right? So it's not if you represent him, you do. We're either really bad representations, poor witnesses, or we are bringing honor to his name by the way that we live, or we're bringing dishonor. So one way that we misuse his name and how we live is when we call ourselves Christians, listen, and we don't live it. When we call ourselves Christians and we don't live it. Jesus reserved his harshest words for hypocrites. He had no room for that, for hypocrisy. So when we carry his name with us, people are looking, people are watching the way that we live, the things that we say, the way that we speak to others, the way that we react to situations in our life, and they're watching. And how we respond and how we react reflects on our Savior, because we bear his name. I want you to look real quick at Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2, look at verse 21 and following. "You then who teach others, do you not teach yourself? When you preach against stealing, do you steal? You who say you must not commit adultery, do you also commit adultery? You who abhor idols, do you rob temples? You who boast in the law, dishonor God by breaking the law. For as it is written," listen, "the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you." This scares me. This really does. That God would be able to look at my life and say, "The name of God is blasphemed, Jared, in your community because of you, because of my life." That's why Jesus says, "If you love me, you'll keep my commandments." It means your life lived for him is an overflow of our love for him. And it's an example of, our lives are reflections of him in the way that we live. Lastly, the one way that we can misuse his name, take his name in vain in how we live, is when we live for our own name instead of his. When we live for our own name instead of his. When we live our life in pursuit of making my name greater, making sure I get that promotion, making sure that I get this next big thing, the next big house, the next big whatever, and it's all about me, I'm living as if my life exists for me instead of him. I'm lifting up my name instead of his name. I'm taking his name in vain. It's a misuse of the name of God and the way that I'm living my life, because I'm living as if it's all about me. My thoughts, my actions will either lift high the name of Jesus or it won't. It'll either magnify him or it'll magnify me. I love that passage from John the Baptist, in John 3, verse 30. "He must increase and I must what? decrease. He must become greater and I must become less. That's the heartbeat of a follower of Jesus. We live for His name and not for our own. We've talked a lot about what it means to be an ambassador for Jesus, right? That as a follower of Jesus, we're all ambassadors for Him. We all carry and bear His name wherever we go. We're either good ambassadors or we're poor ambassadors. We're either representing Him well or we're not. I want to look at one last passage in Acts. So if you'll turn real quick to Acts chapter 5. Because what it comes down to is this. Do we value, do we cherish the name of Jesus? And when we say the name of God, we're talking about Him. Not just a name, not just a title, it's who He is. Do we love Him? Do we cherish Him? Are we willing to give everything for Him? In this passage in Acts chapter 5, we meet the apostles again who are now filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Jesus has already ascended and now he has sent them out. And literally they are turning the world upside down. I'm telling you, it's just like God is doing supernatural things to His people and people are being saved. In fact, one day, 3,000 people were saved in one day. And so the Spirit of God is moving and God is using His people and they're united under the name of Jesus. And then one day, they're finally, these apostles are they're thrown into prison, dragged into court, and they're commanded not to speak anymore in the name of Jesus. They're like, you're causing a disruption, you're terrifying, it's like, you're tearing us apart. Do not speak anymore in the name of Jesus. And then it says that they beat them, and then they sent them on. But look what happens next in verse 40. And when they had called in the apostles, they beat them and they charged them to not speak any longer in the name of Jesus, and they let them go. Verse 41. And then they left the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer dishonor for the what? For the name. They left rejoicing because they were counted worthy to suffer for the name of Jesus. And they said, bring it on. Bring on the suffering. Bring on the beatings because you can't do anything to us because we're united under the name of Jesus and we will never deny Him. We will never deny His name. And that reminds me of one final story and then I'm done. I heard a story of an underground church in a communist country. They had to gather in secret because the soldiers were continually looking for them, looking for ways to disrupt what was going on there, the underground church. And so during one of this church's underground hidden secret gatherings, soldiers found out where they were, and they stormed in, they broke down the door, and they came in to where they were gathered. And at gunpoint, they gathered the church around. And then they said this. They grabbed one of the Bibles that they had, and they threw it on the ground. And they said, if you want to live, you will deny your God, and you will spit on this Bible, and you'll walk away. Well, they didn't know what to do. They didn't want to die in that moment. So some of the people began to stand up. And they walked over, spat on the Bible, and they walked away. One by one, church member after church member came through, they spat on the Bible, and they walked out of the door. They spat, and they walked up. Until one little girl, she walked up towards that little Bible, she knelt down, and she picked it up. She wiped off the spit, and she kissed it. She said, I won't deny Him. I won't deny Him. And they shot her and they killed her. She gave her life honoring the name of Jesus. I won't deny him. I won't deny him. The disciples gave their lives for the name. There's people right now on the other side of the world that are giving their lives for the name. Sometimes I wonder if they heard the way that we sometimes speak about the name, if they'd say, I gave my life for his name. Why are you treating that name with such a casual, flippant, profane way? That's my Jesus. Let's be so careful about how we talk about, and then more importantly, how we live. Because church, listen, we bear his name. We carry his name wherever we go. The conversations that we have, the things that we watch, the places that we go, we carry his name. Will you pray with me? Jesus, precious name of Jesus, this morning we want to lift your name high, far above ours. We just sang about your name, Lord. Your name is great. Your name is powerful. Your name is wonderful. Your name is glorious. Your name is majestic. Your name is to be worshipped above all other names. Lord, forgive me for the times that I casually come before you, how I casually treat you in your name. This morning, Lord, as we just close this time together, would you, by your sweet Holy Spirit, would you convict us? Because we do know that there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And so it's in your forgiveness and in your compassion and in our inability to fulfill your commandments, we trust in the one who did for us on our behalf. So this morning, Lord, don't let us wallow in guilt, but let us rest in your grace this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.